Appreciate everybody being here this morning, and I hope today will be an encouraging day for you. And I'm excited about this, I guess you could say, continuation of what we've been talking about, and that is growing spiritually in an exhausted and tired culture. We're asking ourselves, how do we do that? And I think you'll enjoy this day. We've learned so far that it is impossible to grow spiritually apart from prayer and the Word of God. If you've got your outline, by the way, every time you see a yellow word, if you're visiting with us today, you're a special guest, and we're honored that you're here with us. We normally, the yellow word that's underlined will be the one that you want to fill in. So, we've come to this conclusion that you cannot grow apart from prayer and apart from the Word of God. And we looked at a couple of things that we can do, and I think prayer is more than anything, it's relational. And if we treat it as if, you know, and the Lord is with us constantly wherever we are. We talk to Him throughout our day. We talk to Him the moment we get out of bed. We talk to Him throughout the day. And then by the time we go to bed that night, we have walked with Him that day. And I think if we treat it like that, sharing how we feel, being real, being transparent, that will help us grow, especially in our walk with God. We talked about reading God's Word. We talked about taking small chunks. I think we try to read far too much of Scripture often, and we miss what God is trying to speak to us that day about. So we talked about different ways that we can read. I always encourage people to read a psalm a day. I think psalms are very important to remind us that worship is the most important thing we can do with each day. So those are some of the things that we talked about there. Now, today we are going to look at What is true spirituality? And in the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at, and I'm really excited about this, what it means to be a Romans 12 Christian. This ties in perfectly with what we're doing right now. We're trying to make this practical. We're trying to figure out how to live and grow spiritually in our culture. And I love this series that, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. Chip Ingram, he is a preacher out in California. He's on the radio on 88.9 at 10:30. Maybe some of you have heard him. He's an excellent minister, excellent preacher. He developed this series, and it's really good. I think you'll really enjoy it today. So that's kind of where we're going to be going for the next 6 weeks. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, we want to say how much we love you this morning, and we honor you, and we need you. I know a lot of our body is sick, not feeling well. Had surgery, have had many different things going on in their lives this week. And I know, Lord, we're distracted this morning. We're thinking about other things. We just pray, Lord, today, we invite your Holy Spirit, first of all, to teach us. But secondly, Lord, we just ask that you help us focus this morning. Focus on you, focus on your precious word. We thank you for the opportunity today to be together. We ask that you be glorified in everything that is said and everything that is done. Hide us behind the cross, Father, so that you may be honored and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Every parent has a dream for their child, all right? Do you remember the night or the day that your firstborn was born into the world? You remember that day, don't you? All your children are precious to you, but that firstborn is—it's a brand new experience. And by they say by the third or fourth child, it's like, oh yeah, we have another child. And it's not as that firstborn. You remember the day, don't you? You remember where it was? You remember the hospital? I remember when Sarah was born in Kenya, and that whole day was just like slow motion day. You know what I'm talking about? I got to be in the operating room with Teresa, and it was just. To me, it was the holiest moment of my life. And it was so precious to see that beautiful child for the first time. And all you parents in here know what I'm talking about. It's a different kind of love we're talking about here. You see that little face the first time, and you're just in love with this child. It's a different kind of love. Something you've never experienced before. You want what's best for this child. And it's interesting, our dreams, you know, when we first, you know, first couple years, we think about, you know, what is my child going to do with their lives? Maybe they're going to be a, you know, we start thinking about all the different, you know, career fields they can be involved with. But as time moves on, we become more concerned, don't we, about character. You know, what kind of person are they going to become? Are they going to be a follower of Jesus? Are they going to trust God no matter what comes their way? Because we start, you know, wanting to realize, you know, that they're going to face trials. They're going to face problems. They're going to face obstacles. And will they stay connected to us as parents? Will they remember us? Will they still be with us? And I find it interesting that God has the same dream for you and I. He wants to see that character develop in us, and He wants us to stay connected to Him. And God knew we would need an example to follow. And then the awesome wisdom of God, He says, you know, it's almost like they don't get it down there, do they? Well, son, why don't you go down there and show them how to live? How to live out righteousness? How to be a human fully alive? I want to show them how to follow me. So Jesus comes and shows us how to live. So God's dream for us is that we become like His Son. And the whole point of the Holy Spirit is not to, you know, speak in some kind of weird language or dance down the aisle or act crazy or do anything other than God says, no, I want you to be like my Son, and my Spirit will accomplish that in your life. That's the power behind change, behind transformation, behind growing spiritually, is the Holy Spirit. You can't grow. I can't grow. The Holy Spirit in us, that will help us grow. So for God, what is most important is who we are on the inside. You know, it's our character. Being. Not doing as much as who you are on the inside. Why did you do that? Why did you help that poor person? Why are you wanting to be up front in front of people? What's your motive? Why it's so important is our character influences our doing, our actions. So doing is important, yes, but not as much as being. Why? I could pray 8 hours a day. I could read the scripture like there's no tomorrow and be the biggest jerk on the block. And I could treat people terribly and talk nasty to them and be judgmental of them. And guess what? God is not pleased with a life like that. Even though you may do all the right things, you're not living the right way. Legalists or religious people are all about doing. You know, they want to know what the rules are. How am I supposed to perform today? You know, well, what's the doctrine? And don't miss church attendance. Every time the door is open, you got to be here. And it's all external without the heart. And it's interesting to me that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walking the earth, the only condemnation He has for anybody is not for the prostitute who's repentant. It is not for the tax collector. It is for the religious people. And He calls them hypocrites because they were talking the talk, they weren't walking the walk. They were all right external, but they were not right internally. And my whole point about growing spiritually in an exhausted and tired culture is we could get the prayer and the Bible thing right, but it can never be on. We'll miss it if we don't get it on the inside. Because what influences you on the inside should make you want to love God, love people more. True spirituality, true spirituality is all about relationships. Loving God, loving people, your actions, how you treat people at work, how you treat them at school. That's spiritual. We've got it mixed up. What do legalists say on their deathbed? I hope I've done enough. And guess what? You haven't. No one could do enough. Jesus Christ did enough. And he says, it is finished. It is done. So, when you get to your deathbed, the issue is not how much you have done, it's have you been faithful? Not have you been perfect, but have you been faithful? Are you being? Has it made a difference in your life? Have you treated people differently? Have you loved God with all your heart? All those things. It's not an issue of doing enough. You could be, Mother Teresa didn't do enough. Nobody could do enough. Excuse me. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The cross was a waste of time. All that suffering, everything about it was a waste of time if you and I could earn our way to heaven. If we could do it all ourselves, apart from God, Christ died for nothing. Don't make a mockery of the cross by saying, you know, I think I've done it. We can never do enough. Jesus did enough. So my encouragement to you today is to remind you, put your trust in the finished work of the cross. It is the only thing that will save us. He did enough. Thank you, brother. My question to you today is this. Would you call yourself a spiritual person? Are you spiritual? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. What do we normally think of when we think of being spiritual? We think of doing, praying, reading the Bible a lot. We think of monks. Oh, they're spiritual. I'm not. I go to work every day. I talk to people all day. I'm not spiritual. You're wrong. You're wrong about that. The question I've been asking you the last 2 months or so, and I keep bringing this up for a reason. This is a true test of whether you're growing spiritually or not. Am I growing more in love with God and having greater love for people? That's how you gauge if you're growing spiritually or not. How do you feel about people? How do you feel about God? That's how we know. So, am I saying Bible study and prayer is not important? Oh, we can just throw that out. No, absolutely not. Because that is the means by which God transforms you. And you cannot grow spiritually apart from reading text and spending time with the Lord. Yes. But where it's lived out is among people. Being spiritual is not about performance. It's not about keeping the rules and, you know, and trying harder. It's a response to grace and the finished work of the cross. That's what being spiritual is about. It's saying, my life is a thank offering back to God for what He has done for me in Jesus Christ. That's what being spiritual is all about. So, Paul begins Romans 12, and we're going to be in Romans 12. You're going to know Romans 12 really well. It's a rich, rich chapter. Paul says, therefore, in view of God's mercy. And whenever you see the word therefore, you got to ask yourself what was previously said. And so Paul, in Romans 1 through 11, tells us very briefly, simple outline, chapters 1 through 3, he talks about sin. This is our problem. It separates us from God. Romans 4 and 5 is about the solution. God's solution into our sin problem is Jesus, the cross. That is God's solution to our sin problem. Romans 6 through 8, it's all about Christ-likeness. It's all about living this new life and God's power and growing into Christ-likeness by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's mentioned so much in those three chapters. And then Romans 9 through 11, we talk about sovereignty. God is in control. He is driving. And living in confidence because He is the one that keeps His promises. So, in light of all that, Paul says, look what God has done for us. Offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We're going to unpack this more next week. But I just want to help you understand what the therefore is there for. So true spirituality is about relationships. Being a spiritual person is about the people that surround your life, the people you work with, your family, wherever. And when I talk about relationships, I'm talking about relationships with God, relationship with the world, with ourselves, with believers, and with non-believers. So you're talking about relationships, right? Does that mean, you know, it's not important to obey? I can hear what some people think on this. No, we're not talking about you. We obey out of love and gratitude for what Jesus did at the cross. We don't obey to get saved. We obey because we are saved in Christ. But true spirituality is about relationships. John Stott, famous minister of the gospel in England, wrote, he says, Christianity has never had growth like it's had in the last 40 or 50 years. And it's been amazing if you look at the statistics. But it's about 16 million miles wide and about 1/16 of an inch thick. The greatest need in Christendom today in every country of the world, except where there is persecution or focused discipleship, I find that interesting he says that, is spiritual maturity. We have a lot of width, but we don't have a lot of depth. We have a lot of very immature Christians that are not growing in their faith, that have no desire to grow in their faith, that have accepted Christ and have been bad, yeah, but they're not growing in their walk with God. So why are people so spiritually shallow? I think it boils down to something very simple. It's our faith and our lifestyle do not connect. I come to church on Sunday, I give the amen, I listen to the message, I sing the songs, I participate in the Lord's Supper, that's great, and then as soon as I leave here, I'm disconnected from that. And I get back home, and I'm talking a different way, I'm acting a different way, I get into the workplace, and I'm telling the jokes, and I'm maybe saying things I don't need to be saying, watching things I don't need to be watching. And my lifestyle and my faith are not connected. And that's what will happen. You'll have a spiritual shallowness in Christianity when that happens. So when we begin to mature, though, it's not like we become perfect and we got it all together. But we begin, and I say that word very simply, we begin to think like Jesus. We're growing. Hey, man. What would Jesus want me to do in this? And what does the Lord think about this situation? And you know, I need everything I do and everything, every decision I make, I need to act that Jesus is living in me. What would he want me to do here? How can I please him with my life? Paul would say in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been baptized into Christ. I have died to my old ways. And I no longer live. It's not about me. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in you. God dwells inside you and me. Following Jesus is not about trying harder. I know we hear messages. We hear messages on patience. We hear messages on, doing good. And we think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be a much more patient person. And how long does that last? About 5 minutes, right? And we get frustrated. I'm trying hard to do this Christian thing. I'm really trying hard. It's not about trying harder. It's about allowing God to work in you and to transform you and to change you. And all that's played out living God's dream in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is not all there is about being a disciple or follower of Jesus. It's kind of like a snapshot, like a summary kind of like. So what we're going to see in the next 5 weeks as we walk through this together, as we walk through Romans chapter 12 together, and we discover what true spirituality means, we discover what it means to be a follower of Jesus, two things are going to stand out. It's relational, and it's practical and measurable. You're going to see those things in this thing. Five key relationships that we all have and that will work things out in being spiritual in. So are you ready? Are you asleep? You're not. Are you ready? Say amen. Amen. You're not ready. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. First relationship, our relationship with God. It's a surrendered life. And we're going to talk next week about the fear of surrendering my life to God. We're really going to dig into this text. You're going to walk away and you're going to go, man, I understand that. That makes so much sense. Because it's simple when it boils down to it. God makes things simple. Man makes things difficult. Preachers talk, make things too difficult when God makes it so simple. Therefore, Romans 1 through 11, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You can't throw a dead sacrifice. It stays on there, right? Living sacrifice can come off the altar. That's my choice now, isn't it? Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. And we'll look at this more next week, but I wanted you to get the idea of the text. So my question to you, and I want you to wrestle with this week, is what does God really want from us? What does he want from us? What does he want me to do? I want you for God's army. What does he want? He wants us. He wants you. He wants your life. And there's nothing greater than to see God working powerfully in a person's life. And you see that person as, man, I'm the Lord's and I'm following. There's nothing greater than that. That is a spiritual act of worship. We lack power in our lives. We lack power to overcome sin. We lack power because we refuse God all access. No, Lord, you cannot have that. You can, no. That's mine. Money, it's mine. Business, oh no, it's mine. My future, it's mine. I'll come to church and give you the amen, but no, you can't get into that. And we end up in this continuous cycle of try, fail, and we get frustrated with this Christianity thing. And you're going to love this. We're going to unpack that next week. That's all we're going to say on that one. Second relationship is with the world. We're separate from the world's system, the world's value system. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There is no person in this room today that does not want to know what God's will is for your life. And I'm going to tell you a real simple thing that you can do to discover God's will for your life. And that's the 2 weeks from today. And you're going to love it. Why is it that many of us look no different than the world around us? It's because we have bought the lie that the world value system is going to give my life meaning and purpose. And what do I mean by that? Money, power, sex, prestige, material things. And we all discover, the older we get, we start realizing, man, that doesn't give me any kind of meaning and purpose. Is it evil to have money? No. Paul says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Is it wrong? Sex wrong? No, it's fine in the contents of marriage. Are material things wrong? No, it's okay as long as they don't become an idol or God in your life. But it's wrong when we look to the world to say, give me meaning, give me purpose. When God says, you're my child, you already have purpose. Your identity is not wrapped up in what you do for a living. It's wrapped up in me. How do we get God's very best for our lives? You tap into his plan for your life. That's how you get God's best for your life. Third relationship, our relationship with ourselves. And this one's going to be very challenging for all of us because we're going to be coming to grips with the real us. This Romans 12, 3 through 8 is very, gets right to the heart of the matter. So what's God's purpose for your life? Why are we here? Here to make a bunch of money? Have a big business? And it bothers me when I hear people say, you know, my gifts are really not spiritual. I don't have a ministry. I disagree with you very, very much. Because everything that God has given you, and we're going to talk about this, We're going to talk about spiritual. How many people here know their spiritual gifts? Huh? People. Why is that? We need to know what God's gifted us with. And we're going to try to help you in that department, okay? We may spend a couple weeks on this topic. Because I think it's very important that you understand, you know, this is where I fit. This is what God's called me to do. I know exactly what God's given. But God has given you talents. He has given you things that you can do that nobody else can do. I can't work with wood. Doyle works with wood powerfully. You ever see some of the stuff he makes? God's given him a gift. And we can use that as a ministry to reach other people. I knew a lady in the inner city that made the best cookies you ever had in your life. And she would make cookies and she would give them to her neighbors and say, invite them to church. God will take any gift that you have and use it as a ministry if you allow him to work in that. Do you think your gifts and talents are just wasted? It's only for the earth here? No, you're going to use them in eternity too. You ain't going to sit around with a harp in heaven. I'm sorry, that doesn't work that way. We're going to work, man. We're going to get to work. We're going to use those gifts of wood. We're going to use those gifts of others. All those things are going to be put to use in heaven. But right now, here in the now, God's given you gifts and purpose. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. In other words, when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, or gift. Just as the Spirit determines. You've got a purpose here. You've got a purpose to edify the body. You're not here just to show up on Sunday. You're here to edify and encourage. That's so awesome. We all have a part in God's story. And that is to edify the body of Christ, to encourage. I don't know about you, but man, the world beats you down all week. We need to encourage each other. And we've got problems or struggles in the house today. You've got relationships on your mind. You've got problems on your mind. You've got people that are sick and you're facing financial issues and you're worried about your job and you're worried about the future. You're worried about all kinds of things. And we need to share those with our body. Pray for me. Encourage. Be encouraged. I'm not alone in this thing. Fourth relationship is with believers. And that's serving one another in love. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13 at another date more intensely. So how do we experience true, genuine, authentic community? Is it just a fellowship meal? Well, Dee Dee does an awesome job with our fellowship meal. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. She does a great job. And yes, we do fellowship there. But there's a lot more to it than just Wednesday nights. God is serious about this issue of transparency. Okay? And you and I may not like it. We may fight it and kick and scream and not be willing to open up to our brothers and sisters. But God says, no, I want you to. Because that's where authenticity happens. That's where fellowship happens. That's where we get into each other's lives and say, I'm struggling. Pray for me. I need God. I need you. I need to be encouraged today. And I hate that people come here with problems and they leave with the same problems and they're carrying all this stuff. And God doesn't want you to carry that around. Share it with us. We care about you. Fifth, relationships with non-believers. This should be an interesting one when we get to this. Supernaturally responding to evil with good. That's going to be an interesting one. Do you know when we look most like Jesus? When we choose to love and bless, when the whole world is cursing us, doing evil against us. That is when people see Christ in us the most. So, are you kind of getting the idea now that true spirituality is it's all about relationships? Yeah. And it can be measured. It's practical. Am I surrendered to God? Am I separated from the world's values? You can know that. Have I discovered God's purpose for my life? Am I serving people in love? Am I responding to evil with good? Those are all measurable. And you can know where you are. Am I growing spiritually in the Lord? And as you begin to experience and trust God in these relationships, you'll begin to experience God's power, His peace, His purpose, His presence, and His perspective. All those things that we crave and want, we'll begin to experience them. Next week, we're going to ask the question, what does God really want from us? We're going to look at that. Verse 1, just Romans 12, verse 1. Now, your assignment for the week. Read Romans 12 this week. Start getting familiar with it. Pull out your green sheet. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy for doing this. I think this is awesome. Very well done. And what it does is it takes those five things that we just talked about, our next 5 weeks together, and it says, hey, where are you on that scale? And what I want you to do is take this home today, work through it, figure out your numbers, and look for your lowest score. Your lowest score is an area that you probably need to work on. Really need to listen when we come to that section. My lowest score was the first one. and it has to do with worship as well. And that was an area that I'm still wrestling with. So I hope you will do that this afternoon. It'll benefit you greatly. Now, every Wednesday here in the auditorium, we're going to watch a 15-minute video. And then we're going to process what we've learned today. We're going to continue talking about kind of what we did with the story. We're going to continue talking about what we've learned here today. I want to hear what you have to say. What are you wrestling with? What are you struggling with? So make sure you don't miss that. Let's stand for prayer. Or if you feel comfortable, if you want to get on your knees, that's fine too. Well, let's pray together as we close up today. Father, we confess today that our minds are preoccupied. Lord, I think I can speak for every person in this room today that we want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, we ask that you examine our hearts. We ask that the Holy Spirit will search our souls and help us see ourselves, Father, as we really are. We pray that this six-week series on true spirituality will really help us, Father, to mature in a way that you want us to mature. We know, Lord, that it's a lifetime process. We don't grow quickly. It's a slow thing, and we just ask, Lord, that you give us patience with ourselves. We know, Lord, that your dream for us is to be like your Son, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us into his image. Help us, Father, not to turn Romans 12 into a set of rules and, Lord, get legalistic about stuff. We just want to be a pleasing disciple of yours. Lord, we live for your glory. We long to see you face to face. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. There is no sin too great for the blood of Christ. And I know we hear messages like this and we think automatically of our failures. We think about, I'm not living up to that standard. I'm not working in that area, doing well. And we'll join humanity. We're all in the same boat. God is working with each of us where we are. And we need to stop looking at each other and comparing ourselves with each other and say, you know, I need to look at Jesus. And I need to follow him and not worry about Joe Blow over there. I need to worry about me. Today, if you've never even begun your walk with God, I want to encourage you, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, you know, I know I've sinned, I know I've hurt God with my sin, and I know I can't save myself. I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. And I'm ready to change my ways, and I'm ready to go God's way. We call that repentance. And we baptism is where it all happens, and where we're born again of the water and the Spirit, and where we are washed clean. God will wash away your sins, past, present, and future. And as you follow Christ in your life, and as you struggle, the blood of Christ is fresh on the altar every day. You can ask God to forgive and cleanse you each day. as he says, as we walk in the light as he is in the light. So today maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you just need somebody to say, hey, I'm really struggling. Nobody's here is going to throw stones at you. We're going to love you. We're going to walk with you. We want to be there for you in your time of need. We have some loving shepherds here that deeply care about the body here. Won't you come as we sing the song?
Bear it all alone. Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love abide, all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, faithful and true, walking by our side all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you.
Please be seated.